آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. To all our wonderful listeners, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us for His deen. May Allah protect our iman. Yes, the system of the world is people have breaks at certain times. People are busy at other times. At times some have off, others have a break. Alhamdulillah, Allah knows best. But what we have to always remember is concerning Allah's deen, we have to be conscious. And our salah, there's no break off. Our tilawa of the Quran, our dhikrullah, our consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. And also very importantly, let's remember this day of the 25th. And now people would be in the 26th and these days where many would be having this break. But what we should also remember, the origin of this day has nothing to do with Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu was salam. This was Constantine, 3 centuries after Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, who was one of the first rulers, Roman rulers, people in royalty, who actually embraced the Christian faith. But what he tried to do was merge the Roman Greek ways with Christianity. And that's why he took and added and subtracted and so forth. And what was in the Roman way was Saturnalia, worship of the sun on the coldest day, basically praying to the sun for it to come back. So it's like the shortest day in the year in those regions of the world. And this is where merging the two, worship of the sun or the birth of the sun, came about. And this is where this was basically a lie. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, it's in the Bible as well, Luke. He was born in the spring period. My brother has a wonderful discussion concerning Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and Christmas. It can be made available to whoever is interested. Even Santa Claus has nothing to do with Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. This is some sort of subliminal messaging. That's why there is something like Santa and Satan. Many a time they play with the words. A friend of mine was saying that now they have this movie system coming about, or this snap of a movie that's about to be shown, or is shown now, where a child writes, intending to write to Santa, but he mistakenly writes Satan. And there appears before him this, basically a Satan, but they make a good famous actor who the kids like and the people like play the role of Satan and see the agenda behind it. And now this person says, what do you want? Did you call for me? He says, no, I called Santa. He says, no, but you wrote Dear Satan, and I'm here to do whatever you want. He says, oh. Now the child is thinking that, you know, Satan is not good, because that's what everyone has always thought. But now the system of the world is going into a different direction, where the agenda is to make people, before aliens are nice, na'udhu billah, genie is good, like in the story of Aladdin. And here now, the child is talking directly to the Satan. What do you want? He says, ask anything. Start with 3 wishes. He says, but aren't you like the genie? He says, no, the genie stole the idea from me. So let's be careful, worry for our iman, our children's iman. Wherever we go with the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Travel with Allah's consciousness. Travel upholding Allah's deen. When it is the time of salah, perform our salah. Stop, make wudu without causing taklif to anyone. Render the adhan with the correct intention, alhamdulillah, also with the intention of hidayah. The meaning of the adhan is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Harith Sudai radiallahu anhu, when you are in the wilderness, raise your voice with the adhan, because every rock, every tree, every blade of grass that will hear you will bear testimony for you on judgment day. And subhanallah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if my ummah knew the value of adhan, they would vie with one another and compete with one another in rendering, in giving the adhan. Alhamdulillah, on journeys and on travels, Allah gives us opportunities. Sometimes you stopped at a garage. Alhamdulillah, make the adhan with the intention that Allah establish a masjid in that area someday. And also the hadith states, if you perform your salah with your iqamah, salla ma'ahu malakahu, your angels will perform salah with you. But if you render the adhan and then the iqamah, and then your salah, salla ma'ahu min junudillah ma la yura tarafahu, Allah will send so many of His angels to pray with you that the end of the first saf would not be able to be seen if you could see them with the naked eye. Alhamdulillah. And as we travel also, remember that life is a journey. We are travelers in this world. There's an amazing incident of Harun al-Rashid, rahimahullah, with a pious, ascetic Bahlul, rahimahullah. Bahlul would give advice to the people, and some people felt that he's insane. So Harun Rashid also would laugh at him at times. And when he would advise, Harun Rashid would listen. And Harun Rashid said to his guards that when Bahlul comes to me, never stop him. And one day, Harun Rashid was a bit fed up with Bahlul. So he said to him, you know, I'm giving you this gift. He wanted to laugh at Bahlul. He says, oh, Jazakallah for the gift. He says, no, this is a gift because you're so foolish. But if you find anyone as foolish as you, then give him this gift. It was basically a valuable golden axe, a valuable axe, not for usage, but some sort of ornament. And Bahlul took it. You know, he didn't insult or grin or get upset. And sometime later, when Harun al-Rashid was really severely ill, Bahlul came to visit him and he asked him, how are you, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, O Harun? He said, you know, this journey is lengthy. I'm going. I'm reaching my destination. I'm going on this long journey. And I have not taken enough adequate provisions for this journey. So he says, but why didn't you? You know this journey is lengthy. Why didn't you prepare? Normally when you are traveling and you're going to a certain destination, to a certain country, you have your entourage ready. You have your people to go ahead of you. You make arrangements are made over you there. So why haven't you prepared for this journey? Like you and I, we're going somewhere, for example, we have bookings, we know how many bags we can carry, we plan what we need in our baggage, we know what's to be done at the airport in that country. Do we have someone picking us up? Have we made arrangements for a hire vehicle, a car vehicle, a rental car? We make arrangements when it comes to this world. So he says, but you make adequate arrangements when it comes, you know, when you generally travel, why haven't you made adequate arrangements this time? He says, you know, I don't know why. He says, when did you know you're going on this journey? Maybe you heard about it last minute. He says, no, I knew long, long ago, years, from the time we came into this world. We are travelers. That's why, my respected Ummah, even our janazah salah has no adhan and iqamah. You might ask why. Because the adhan and the iqamah have taken place already when we came into this world. That's how short this life is. We've come to go. That's why we are traveling also, read the Quran, deliberate, learn verses of the Quran. Yesterday I was buying some coffee for the family and there was a guy who I offered some literature to, and then we got speaking. And subhanAllah, it's so sad that some people, the only thing they know about Islam is negativities. Allahu Akbar. The only aspect they know about our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is negativities. It means the forces of batil are getting to them and you and I are keeping it to ourselves. How sad that the only thing some people know about Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, such a Nabi of Allah who is Rahma lil Alameen, the only information that came from some is from the forces of batil. So whenever I meet Muslims on a travel also, I talk to them and I ask them, respected friend, you know, alhamdulillah, we are traveling. Yes, some literature. I would like you to go over this, but keep this with you. See an opportunity. Show people the akhlaq of a Muslim practically and also verbally through inviting the individual. Because the forces of batil are spreading falsehood concerning Muslims. And we have to show the world what is the truth about Islam, about our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today as well, alhamdulillah, we had an interesting discussion. A man he refused the literature and then he came back and he said a few things about Islam, and then he wanted, you know, he
tried to insult our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. And I explained, Allahu Akbar, the explanation that our ulama give. And there's a nice explanation by Shaheed Bolton. And alhamdulillah, it's a clear explanation about our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. But sadly, you know, the wrong people are conveying the information to the people, meaning the negative, the forces of batil are attacking our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the only thing some non-Muslims know about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his Mubarak marriage with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. That was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wedded Hazrat Aisha to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when, alhamdulillah, the marriage was consummated when Hazrat Aisha was 9. But Hazrat Aisha was like no other woman, she was special. Alhamdulillah, this was her, you know, her maturity, her level of understanding, her amazing position and status in the deen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to wed her at that age. And also, the women of the past were mature, were much more mature. It was common at that time to wed from a very young age. That's not common today because obviously we're much less mature. At that time, and Hazrat Aisha is more special than anyone else. We believe Hazrat Maryam radiallahu anha was not wedded. Allah Ta'ala blessed her with Hazrat Isa alayhi salam without any male intervention. But there is an event mentioned, so it's in the Bible, that it seems that this is afterwards, that she wedded Joseph when she was only 12 and Joseph was 80 some odd. So we can explain and defend Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and afterwards we can also mention this, that this is not the Anbiya alayhi salam. Alhamdulillah, did wed. You said Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had at one time 9 wives. Yes, alhamdulillah, this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made special for the Anbiya alayhi salam, like Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. Every one of them had wives, alhamdulillah, and they cared for them, they were fair with them, alhamdulillah, and their wives served Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. Their wives were righteous, like the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose every one of them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I did not wed any of my wives or give any of my daughters in marriage except with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every one of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nikahs had so much of wisdom in them, alhamdulillah. It's quite an interesting incident with Qadi Abu Bakr al-Baqillani rahimahullah, who is one of the early scholars of Islam, the Salaf Salihin. He was actually in the early 5th century, and he was sent under one of the ministers of the Muslim lands during the Abbasid reign to the Roman Emperor. And he went to meet on behalf of the Khalifa because the emperor wanted to talk to a Muslim scholar. And subhanallah, this alim arrived there. They gave him a place to stay. He was welcomed. Then they wanted him to wear certain garments when meeting the emperor. So he said, you see, I am a Muslim. I am a scholar. I dress in accordance to the sunnah wherever I go. Subhanallah. And they respected that. And then when he was given the times, he said, I'll make it at these times, but at this time here is my prayer. I will pray and then I will come. So subhanallah, wherever we are in the world, our salah, our prayer is so pertinent, so important. Allah give us tawfiq. And then when he came, there's one part of the event that's quite interesting, where the emperor wanted this great alim to bow down or bend down, because others would bend down before coming before the emperor. But as this alim came, he was not going to do that. So the emperor lowered the hall, the doorway where he comes through the hall, and then there's a doorway just before the emperor. He lowered that door to enforce it on this alim to bend down. Subhanallah. And this alim sees this lowered door. He comes in through the other way. Subhanallah. So wherever we are, we have akhlaq, we have character, but we don't compromise our deen, and we have to be wise. Alhamdulillah. And then so many questions were posed to this alim. Among them was also about Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. But that was another event about Hazrat Aisha. They asked him, but isn't it so that your Prophet's wife perpetrated the crime of adultery? Ya Allah. What's shocking here is, see how the forces of batil spread false allegations against Hazrat Aisha to such an extent that it even reached Roman lands. Allahu Akbar. How sad it is that the forces of batil spread batil. Allah give us tawfiq to spread haqq. Allah give us tawfiq to spread haqq. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf rahmatullahi used to say, Allah, I complain to thee. إليك أشكو كسر الموحدين ونشاط الملحدين. I complain to you that the muwahid, the Muslim, is lazily sitting down with truth and not spreading it and advocating it. And the forces of batil are actively exerting themselves in spreading their falsehood. Look how wisely this alim responded. He said, that's a false allegation laid against our mother, Ummuna Aisha radiallahu anha, just like the false allegation laid against Hazrat Maryam radiallahu anha alayhi salam. Subhanallah. And interestingly, just as a form of information, Paul distorted a lot of the Christian faith, like the haters of Sahaba radiallahu anhum tried to do when it came to Islam. But Allah preserves the Quran and Allah protects Islam. But how wisely did this alim answer? He said, that's a false allegation that they laid against our mother, Hazrat Aisha, like the false allegation laid against Hazrat Maryam. But then he said, but the difference is Hazrat Maryam bore a child and our mother Hazrat Aisha didn't. And both are lies against them. And alhamdulillah, through travels also, it's an opportunity to share the truth. Even the one brother discussing with him over some coffee, I made him read the translation of the Quran when it came to Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, from verse 33 onward, or if there's not much time, from verse 42 onward, subhanallah. The story of Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam and Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, and the story of Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. So amazing is that. And then chapter 19 of the Qur'an al-Kareem, introduce the Qur'an to humanity. It is, subhanallah, Allah's kalam that humanity doesn't know the truth of. And how wisely this alim handled that Roman emperor. Afterwards, he was called in for another meeting and the Pope was called to dialogue and discuss with this alim, because the emperor felt the scholar is too intelligent for him. And in the meeting, when the Pope barged in, or the senior barged in, and this alim greeted, and he asked him, how is your family, wife and children? كيف الأهل والأولاد? And now there was a huge cry of refusal and rejection and objection. How could you ask such a question to such saintly people? So this alim actually posed that question with this intention of clarifying this point, that subhanallah, oh Allah, they complain and falsely claim that the human being is free from wife and child, but they falsely attribute to you children and some a wife. Ya Allah, you are pure and free from the falsehood that they allegate unto you. So even if you read the translation of Surah Maryam, the last page, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْ. The sky is about to split. The earth wants to crack and the mountains want to collapse, because they falsely claim that Rahman has begotten a child. Subhanallah. The skies, the earth, the mountains can't bear it. But you and I are not prepared to take out some time to wisely explain to people the reality that Allah is free from wife and child. Allah is one. Allah has no partner whatsoever. And if you have more opportunity to talk to them, explain to them that when the Bible says Son of God, it's not meant in the literal sense, because Jesus in the Bible is not the only Son of God. So this is a translation. It's a problem with the translation. The Bible refers to Abraham as the Son of God. David is the Son of God. And everyone, our Father who art in heaven, meaning God has sons by the tons in the Bible, not in the literal sense. So that can also be explained to them. But the thing is, they have to be explained. We have to share the message in a wise, kind manner. So wherever we are in the world, wherever we're traveling, whatever we are doing, make the intention that Allah accept us for your deen, preserve our iman, help us become closer to you, save us from being distanced from the sunnah and from the deen. And wherever we go, ya Allah, make us mafatih lil khayr, maghaliq lil shar, to be instigators of goodness, to inspire goodness, to see opportunities of goodness, opportunities to establish masjids, maktab, musalla, dindari, and make us means of stopping evil, and save us from being, ya Allah, an instigator of evil and a lock to good. Allah accept us for his deen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.